This morning, we're going to have the scripture passage visually on the screen, so you can just watch the screen.
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play with the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Isn't it amazing the Christian media that's out there today? It's really awesome to have stuff like that. I'm going to come back to Isaiah chapter 11 a bit later. But this morning, I'm going to start with a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks, that I'm just going to be spending on a scripture, Isaiah 65. So like I said, we'll get back to Isaiah 11 just now. But over 3 weeks, I want to share a word that I believe that God wants to do in our hearts. And the word is very simple. The word is to enjoy. And so we've got 3 weeks, I believe, that God just wants to shift something in us where we enjoy God, where we enjoy each other, where we enjoy our work, where we just enjoy ourselves. So the word there is from Isaiah 65. And on the screen, if you can go to the next slide there. Like I said, enjoying God and him enjoying us, enjoying work, so we'll get to that next week, and the fruit of our hands, building, enjoying our children, spiritual and natural children. And so you can go and read Isaiah 65. I'm going to be working through that chapter, but that's literally what the scripture says. God wants us to enjoy him and us. He wants us to enjoy our work and enjoy children. And then the result of that is God's favor. And it's amazing. It's amazing. God's equations are always so amazing. You know, he comes and he does it in us, and then it's blessed. And, you know, there's always a double blessing. You know, God is so gracious. So Isaiah 65, like I said, speaks about this enjoyment that God has in us. And we're going to just touch on the first one this morning. I'm going to read from verse 17 quickly. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing. Remember, the new Jerusalem is the church. So this is a prophecy concerning what Jesus would bring in the New Testament. So the new Jerusalem, that's us. So God, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing. That's how he creates us. And a people, a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So you see lots of joy there. Lots of enjoy, lots of joy. God wants us to enjoy him. So For the first one of this Isaiah 65, we're going to just come to a place where, and we've got 3 weeks, I believe, to allow God to do things in our hearts, but to enjoy God and to let Him enjoy us. John Edwards says the following. He says, God made the world that He might communicate and the creature receive His glory, but that it might be received both by the mind and the heart. Westminster Shorter Catechism summarizes the chief end of man as to glorify and to enjoy him forever. John Piper goes further and he says, it's more correct to say, the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. So whenever we make statements like that, you know, we need to look at the whole of Scripture. So it's amazing when we have theologians that come and they summarize what we see in Scripture. And their summary is that this is it. This is the purpose of man, is to enjoy God forever. Now, doesn't that sound amazing? You know, if you've connected with God, if you've experienced just a little bit of Him, you'll know that is amazing. And you know, again, there's a double bonus. God is glorified by that. The fact that you and I enjoy God brings glory to Him. Now, that is amazing. And so I want to invite you on this journey with me. I'm so glad as an engineer I learned. What did I learn? No, I forgot what I learned. It was so long ago. Agile design. So Kenny can tell you all about agile design. But agile design means that whenever you release something, it's never in product. It's always a beta version, right? So this morning, my message is a bit of a beta version, right? It's not fully complete. It's a work in process. But I wanna invite you to come with me on this journey as we discover to enjoy God and as we sort of get ourselves out of the molds of performance, out of the molds of trying to impress God and trying to impress people and trying to do a lot of things and just be busy into enjoying God and through that bringing glory to Him. And so that's the first part. The second part of it is then that God would enjoy us. And I believe that God most enjoys us when we are most at home with who God has made us to be. So that's the second part of the journey, is to discover who God has made us to be. And it might sound a bit selfish, but you know, I'm focusing on myself. But no, if you look at Jesus, you know, Jesus was amazing in this regard. Jesus knew fully who He was. He says, I know where I'm coming from and I know where I'm going. He knew Himself better than any person ever knew themselves. And He came to demonstrate that life to us. And one of the things that He demonstrated to us is that we are most ourselves when we serve. Jesus showed us the way. In fact, it says in Luke 22, verse 27, disciples have a fight about who's the greatest. Jesus steps in and He says, who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclines, but I am among you as the one who serves. He says the world's dynamic works like this. The one that's sitting at the table is the greatest, but He says, but now I'm introducing a different dynamic. I'm the one that's serving. And that is the better way, is to serve. So it's important that we grow in knowing ourselves. And this makes really sense to me as a parent. I enjoy my kids the most when they are comfortable in who they are. And it's really amazing to see. My little boy, he's really a joker. He's a real extrovert. And I really enjoy when he has those moments where he's, you know, he's just so at home in his skin. And he just cracks those jokes, but very confidently. You know, he's like, I know I'm funny. Then he tells those jokes, and then it's really, really funny. And it's so great to see my little girl. The other day, Liana tells me when I got home, she made all these gifts, and she said, Mommy, this gift is for you. She loves, her love language is gifts. And so she made one for Liana, and she made a little gift for Evan. And so Liana was but where's Daddy's gift? And then she, with a big smile on her face, she goes like this. She says, but I'm Daddy's gift. Very confidently. And isn't that amazing? Isn't that so powerful? Just that little confidence, just that little being at home with who she is. You know, and actually, her inclination is not on herself. You know, it's those moments, and you know, the Facebook thing, you can always think, you know, the kids are so amazing because you only read the good stories. Don't worry, there's lots of tantrums where the focus is on self. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want to do that. Do you see that when the focus is on self, then you are not yourself? When the focus is on God and you are at home with who you are, then God can enjoy that. Then me as a father, I enjoy my kids when I see that they are at home with who they are meant to be. So I want to just take us on, it's a bit of a message on identity, discovering who we are, and finding that place with God. And so Proverbs 20, verse 27 says the following. The spirit of man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. The spirit of man is the lamp of God. Now that's a powerful demonstration. It's a powerful picture. So I'm almost tempted to ask you, do you recognize a time when the lamp was out in yourself? I can remember for myself, there was a time where, you know, obviously before I met Christ, where there was something missing. But now when Christ comes and he lights the lamp, the spirit, the innermost parts become alive. Now, do you see that picture of darkness and then light? But God says that the spirit of man is that thing inside of us that makes us come alive. It's the essence of man. It's what connects everything in us, our minds, our bodies, our emotions, our thoughts, our will. Everything comes together in the spirit. That's the identity of man. So identity is so much more than just a collective of ideas of who we are. Okay, that's pretty much what the world says. Let me read you a secular definition of identity. Merriam-Webster dictionary says it's sameness of essential and generic character in different instances. So what I like about that is identity is consistent. You're not like this the one day and like this the other day and like this. Your character is your character that God has given you, and it's consistent. But it's not just a collection of thoughts and ideas and perceptions and pictures of who we are and then us living that out. No, it goes much deeper. It goes into the spirit of man, like you saw there in Proverbs 20, verse 27. So that is the essence of man. That is, in essence, that's where the Christian person's identity lies, is in the spirit. Okay, so I'm going to explain a bit more about that this morning. God says that the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to get to Isaiah 11 just now. When we have the Holy Spirit comes alongside us, alongside our spirit. So many people think, well, it's I've got a spirit, soul, body, and spirit. But then the Holy Spirit is not that spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside our spirit. We've got our own spirit. That is our identity. That's the essence of man. Now, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes next to us and communicates with our spirit. And that's how we connect with God. That's how we communicate with God. And so, Isaiah 11 speaks about Jesus coming, starts with the lineage of David, but then it says that God takes the stump. Let me read Isaiah first, then I'm going to explain. I'll explain better. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So we see here, quite very interesting about Isaiah 11 is that it speaks about the branch that comes out of the stump of the root of Jesse. Now, obviously, that reference is to David, because David was the king. David was appointed as king. And then, of course, we know that the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. But now, very interestingly, and this is just a side note, but very interestingly that this stump, or at the time of Jesus, who's the fulfillment of this prophecy that we see, at the time of Jesus, David was not in power. He was not in office, right? There was no one from the lineage of David that was in office in the Jewish nation. But yet, God used a little stump. God could take just a little bit of his representation. And you need to have the political context here. But God would come, and then through his Spirit, that's enough for him. He breathes on that stump, and then the branch comes forth in Jesus. Now, that's amazing. You know, that's amazing. If you think of any dire situation, any situation that seems hopeless, that seems lost, you know, God literally just needs a stump to raise up from that stump life. And I find that immensely encouraging to know that that's what the Spirit of the Lord can do. So it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So that's what we call the sevenfold Spirit of God. You see in the book of Revelations, many times it speaks about the sevenfold Spirit of God. There's images. But there's seven ways in which the Holy Spirit operates. And it's these seven things, right? The Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm gonna bring together what I said earlier and in the Scripture in a moment. So, I'm going to look at these three things. The Holy Spirit comes and he does something in us. You know that God can work, the Holy Spirit can work through you. But how many of you found that the Holy Spirit can work through you or through someone, but it's this weird dynamic where it hasn't actually affected the person, right? The Holy Spirit did something and it's miraculous through the person, but they are unaffected. So what I'm getting at is the Holy Spirit can work through you, but it doesn't necessarily mean he works in you. What we want is that the Holy Spirit works in you and then through you. That is the ideal situation. But for some other reason, there's certain aspects of who God is that doesn't work in us and through us. Maybe it just works through us, right? But there's certain blockages in our identity that limits us from allowing God to work in and through us. So here's the picture. So this picture marries Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, with Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And you see wisdom, counsel, knowledge, the Lord, fear, might, understanding. These are the lamps. Now, I want to show you how this affects. Revelations is big picture stuff. Revelations is the end of the world, the end, you know, the coming back of Jesus. How does this affect us as individuals and identity? Because that's what we talk about this morning. So, Tony, if you can just, there's a little representation. This is a bit even more complex illustration. Next one, thanks, Antonio. So, here we see the new man in Christ, spirit, soul, body, our minds, intuition, logic, lots of detail that I'm not going to focus on, mind, will, and emotions, thoughts, intents, the heart. But there you see the lamp of the Lord. Remember, Proverbs 20 says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, he touches the spirit of man, right? In each of those areas. If you can switch back two slides, Antonio. Those areas. Wisdom, counsel, knowledge, the Lord, fear, might, understanding. So these are the areas that God wants to speak into the essence of who we are, into our identity and shape our identity. Okay, so I'm going to just run us through those seven expressions, if you want, of the Holy Spirit and how it forms us as individuals. So I'm going to go through each of them, and then I want us to sit down and to have a bit of a group session where we're going to just pray for one another and we're going to share what are the areas that I've allowed God to affect me and change and shape my identity, and what are the areas that I'm still trusting Him to shape my identity, because none of us have arrived. We're all becoming more who we are or who we should be. And remember, God enjoys us when we are who He's made us to be. All right, and the focus and the emphasis is on enjoying God. Then He's glorified. So the Spirit of the Lord. The verse starts and it says, the Spirit of the Lord rested on Him. So that's the first one, the Spirit of the Lord. And the part that shapes us, what shapes us identity about this part of the Holy Spirit coming on us, is the fact and the peace and security of the fact that you are not God, right? The place where we are secure in who God is, and knowing that I'm not God. There's a real security and a real peace that comes when in our innermost parts we understand, listen, God is God, right? And I don't need to be God. I don't need to be my own God. So many of us fight for ourselves. So many of us fight, and we actually take the role of the Father in our lives because we're in this world and we need to make it work. We call it the orphan spirit, right? If we don't get this right, we try and fight for ourselves, and we don't let people close into us, into our lives, into our space, because we are. And the end goal is to be a self-made man, right? We want to do it ourselves. But here, the Holy Spirit comes, speaks a rest into the soul of man to know and understand that, listen, it's okay. I'll be God. The Spirit of the Lord rested on Him. And so the first question is, have you allowed God to speak that into your spirit? Is I can just rest. I can just be a man, a woman. God is God, and I'm giving over to Him. But that's at such a core of who we are and our identity, is to allow God to be God and us to just be human. The second one is the spirit of wisdom. Now, wisdom, as we often use the definition, is knowledge rightly applied. So we've got knowledge, we've got information, but how do we apply it? And what is key here is emotional intelligence, is knowing, is actually, it's a step back, because remember, our spirits are, we're primarily spiritual beings, right? So our spirit must rule, and we see this right through the New Testament where the writers often say, but fulfill the desires of the spirit. Do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Do not allow, you know, the soulish things, your mind, will, and emotions to rule over you, but your spirit must rule over your life. So wisdom and the spirit of wisdom touches us in this place where we allow our spirit to rule over our emotions. So it's a bit of the best sort of analogy I can use is when we are emotionally intelligent. In other words, we find ourselves in situations and knowing what to do, knowing what the appropriate thing to do in that situation tells us how much our spirit is secure in God. Does that make sense? Right, so sometimes we get in a rut in doing things, and in this situation, we always respond in this way. But now, the better way and the more secure way is when we allow our spirits to play that role. Does it make sense? Jesus lived wisdom. That's what it comes down to. Jesus lived wisdom, but he didn't do it just from here. He lived wisdom from here, right? And so his spirit could rule over his emotions, right? It's that place where we can stand back and be ourselves appropriately to the situation. All right, that's the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. Again, it's a certain self-awareness to know the implications of one's actions. Every action has consequences. Understanding knows when to do the appropriate thing. Because understanding flows from wisdom, it's the action from the correct knowing what to do. Okay, so the spirit of understanding, Jesus walked in understanding, and he knew what to do. It's that knowing what is on the inside and responding appropriately. I believe Christians, like I said earlier, should know the most of themselves. They should be the most aware, self-aware people. That's understanding. The third one is the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel, what do you do when you counsel someone? When you give counsel, if God counsels you, or if we have human counsel, is you put yourself in the other person's shoes, right? You empathize with the person. So the best counselors are the people that can put themselves in another person's shoes. Right, does that make sense? Okay, so some of us struggle with that, right? Some of us, and especially if you're not in a good place, you're so stuck in yourself that you can't get there. Does anyone relate with that? Right? I relate with that because, you know, if you're stuck with yourself, in yourself, then you can't get there. And here we see this again in Christ. Christ was able to get in their shoes, in people's shoes. Whether it's the woman with the issue of the blood, whether it's the woman at the well, we see that Christ knew himself in the sense that he could empathize with people. Am I making sense this morning? Right? Because he was secure in who he was, he could understand and really get it. But you see that there's a certain identity aspect of it, right? Poverty is not a material thing, right? We all know that. When we look at poverty in the world, it's not a lack of finances, but it's something in the identity. Now, a spiritual poverty would be the inability to be able to relate or empathize with people, right? And we want the Holy Spirit, the spirit of counsel, to speak into identities so that this becomes our natural. This becomes the norm. Even though I'm going through struggles, I've got the ability to connect with someone else, right? My spirit is ruling over my emotions. Then the spirit of might. Spirit of might is a persistent strength, the ability to push through. Wisdom would be to back down at the right time, but backing down at the wrong time would indicate something wrong in our identity. Does that make sense? So there's times when you know this is not a fight that I'm supposed to fight. That's the spirit of wisdom, right? I'm not going to engage with this because it's not appropriate for me and God has not called me to engage with this. But now, when we back away all the time, that's not wisdom. That indicates the fact that I haven't grown in this area. I haven't allowed the spirit of might to speak into my identity, all right? There are times where you need to face a situation head on, You need to go and you need to push through. And if you identify that you avoid those, it means that you need the spirit of might to speak into yourself, into your innermost being, into your identity. Does that make sense? There's actually, I can spend a bit more time on this, but another image that Revelation gives of, the book of Revelation gives of the Holy Spirit is the creature that has four faces. The lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. It's another variation of what I'm doing here this morning, but the ox represents strength. The ox represents, you know, might. So when I'm in a situation, when I've got a challenge, because I've got the spirit of might in me and it's become part of my identity, I don't draw back. But I continue with faith. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Right. Knowledge. The spirit of knowledge. Confidence and security of knowing. Jesus said, and I mentioned this earlier, I know where I'm coming from and I know where I'm going. It's where we've allowed the Holy Spirit, the spirit of knowledge, to understand who we are. Right? I know not just about situations. I know, I have knowledge, not just supernatural, of things that happen, but I know in myself. Right? That's when we've allowed the spirit of knowledge to affect us in that way. Then finally, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. This is an instinctive awareness of God. It's not something we, the fear of God is not something we psych ourselves up to do, right? When we see God, He is fearful. If you look at all the encounters that people have with God in Scripture, whenever they see God, they fall flat down on their faces. John says, you know, when he sees God, when he saw God, he became like one that is dead. That's his response to God. Isaiah had, he saw God, and then his encounter was, his response was, I'm undone. You know, woe to me, a man with unclean lips. That was his response. So it's not like we need to tell ourselves to have reverence towards God. That's not the fear of God. The fear of God is the awareness that He is awesome. God is all powerful. He's amazing. When we're going to see Him, it's going to change us. It's going to affect us in many ways because He's really awesome. He is to be feared. But now the fear of the Lord is an instinctive awareness of God. Right? Something, again, in your identity that you've become aware of who He is. How many times have you read that the Scripture says this was a God-fearing man? It's because it was part of their identity. Instinctively, and many times, actually, it wasn't saved people. A couple of times, it wasn't saved people. We see the Gentile man that Jesus ministered to. It says that he was a God-fearing man. It's not like he did things indicating that he fears God. It says, no, he was a God-fearing man. It was part of his identity, right? With Cornelius, you know, the man that had the encounter with Peter, and, you know, then the Holy Spirit comes and they get baptized with the Holy Spirit. It says, but he was a God-fearing man. And so we see many, those that wait for the Messiah's coming, the prophets, every time it says that they were God-fearing. So you can actually be a Christian and actually not God-fearing in your core self, in your identity, right? And that's where we need the spirit of the fear of the Lord to minister into our hearts. All right, so I've just sort of briefly touched on those. Let's just break up in groups of three or four. And I want us just to pray for one another and just want us to share in terms of these things. What have you identified? And obviously it's an ongoing process. But what would you like? Two things. What would you like the Holy Spirit, or which part of Him would you like Him to work in and through you? And, you know, what are the areas that you feel that God has really done a work in you. Again, that brings glory to God when we say, well, God has really done something here in this area. And so we can actually share that because it brings glory to Him. So if we can just answer those two things, then we'll come together and we'll pray again together. All right. Is that all right? Everyone happy? Thanks, Etienne. Thanks. Just want to pray for us and just pray a brief scripture for us before we continue to fellowship. But just now that we've sort of had the discussion, I want you just to see Isaiah 11 again and the outworking of the fact that the Spirit of God rested on Jesus and how it actually affected His way of life and His identity. So verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Then verse 3 says, this is now the outworking. It's almost like the scripture shows us an example. This is how it works. The first one then, verse 3, and His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge but by what He sees with the eye, or decide disputes but by what His ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. So I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the example of Jesus. We thank You, Jesus, that You showed us what it is to be human. You showed us how to live this life. And God, we want to just this morning give You that place in our lives. We say, Holy Spirit, come alongside us and minister to us in our innermost being. Father, come and brighten the light, the lamp, God, so that You can deal with the innermost parts of us, God. But we ask that You would speak into our lives, God, that You would speak into our identities, God, and remove even obstacles. Remove things that hinder us from allowing You to work in our lives. And I want to just, while every eye is closed this morning, give You the opportunity. If you've identified, and maybe you didn't even feel the liberty to share it maybe in the group, but you identified that there's something in you that just struggles. There's a block. Something that hinders you from allowing God to do something in and through you. And maybe it's a lie. Maybe it's, you'll never be like that. You'll never be like that. Or, you know, if you just allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, the ability to recognize that there is something. And I'm going to just ask God to, by His Holy Spirit, come and rest on you. That He'd help you in that regard. So while every eye is closed, if there's anyone like that, won't you just raise your hand to God? In fact, raise both your hands, saying, Holy Spirit, come and rest on me. And then I want you just to, in your heart, just be honest with God. Say, God, I'm scared of this. I'm scared of allowing You in that area because I've always limited myself. I'm always that person and not that person. But actually, You've made me to be both, God. God, I've limited Your working in me and I've limited myself in the process. So, Father, we pray that You would come and breathe on Your sons and Your daughters this morning. That You would help us to go into areas that we've not wanted to go into. Help us to deal with the thoughts, the ideas, the lies that we've believed of ourselves. We repent of those, God. We repent of believing and buying into lies of stuff that is not from You. In fact, we repent of believing anything that is not from You, the source, the Father, the King of Kings, the lover of our souls. And Father, most of all, we choose this morning to trust You. We trust the Father. That His work in us is good. Even as Wesley read this morning, God, that the Father He's not like us. He's not imperfect. He's not evil. The Father is good. How much more will He give us good things, do good in us? And we say this morning that we allow You, Holy Spirit, to rest upon us, to speak into us, and to work through us, but most of all in us this morning, to change us, to make us as You want us to be. This morning, God, we say we want to enjoy You, God. And God, we want You to have glory in and through our lives. And God, we want You to enjoy us as Your children, as Your sons. And we pray that, God, You would show us in this week, God, reveal to us, speak to us in our quiet times, help us to come to that place of rest and where we enjoy You, God. Father, we pray for spaces this week where we can worship, spaces where we can just get out of the busyness of life, Lord, and just into the presence of God. Cultivate, God, in us that ability to enjoy life, enjoy our work, and enjoy You. We worship You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.